Okay, we make today's shir as a zecher nishmas for Sora Bas Eliezer. Mrs. Slomowitz, a very chashuva participant in the shir for many years, is sitting shiva for her sister. And together we say, Makim Menachem Eslam B'Soy Shrav Eli Tzim Shalayim, shall only have simchas in your life for many years to come. And again, the shir is zecher nishmas Sora Bas Eliezer. So we come to the end, the last Parsha of Sefer Bereishis, and we come to the end of the life of Yaakov Avinu, who has really been on the stage for many, many parshas. Of course, Yosef takes center stage as well. But now we come to the end of Yaakov's life, and that's what Parsha Vayechi really is about. The brachas he gives to the children, his levaya, the brachas he gives to the Einoklach. It's really very emotional, very, very poignant. But I had a kasha. And also I'd like to bring in the fast that we just fasted on Tuesday, Asar B'Tevis. It says, V'chi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shvayas reshana. Yaakov was in Mitzrayim, he lived there for 17 years. V'yihi Yaakov shnei chayav, and his life was sheva shana v'arbayim umiyash shana, and he lived 147 years. 147 years, by the way, they say is the gematria of the two klolas. There were a klola of 98 klolas in Kisavai, and there are 49 klolas in Bechukai Isai, and together they add up to 147. That the life of Yaakov and learning from Yaakov is and inculcating Yaakov's values is the shmira to protect us against the klolas. So that's what it adds up to. But it says that Yaakov lived 147 years, and it's very unusual. I had a kasha. Let's learn one more pasuk, then we'll ask. Vayikrav me Yisrael lamus, and the days of Yisrael come close to being completed. It's coming close to dying. Yikul b'no l'Yosef, he calls Yosef. Vayomer lo natsasi chen beinecha sim na yocha tachz yerechi, put your hand under my yerech. Vasisi madi chesed v'emes, do with me the famous chesed v'emes. Al notik bereini b'mitzrayim, do not bury me in Mitzrayim. Now, normally, if you take a look at the life of Avram. So when Avram's life is over, it says that he died. And it says how many years he lived. And that's it. Then we move on. By Yitzhak, here by Yaakov, something very strange happens. It tells us, it should. Why does it say, Vayihi Yimei Yaakov, Shnei Chayav, Sheva Shana, V'Arbayim Ma'ashana? That should be in the end of the Parsha. It should say, Vayigva Vayamos, and he went and he died. And then it should say how many years he lived. Why does it tell us at this juncture of how many years he lived? It's a funny place to put it, because he's going to continue living. In matter of fact, at the time it says he wasn't even sick. Because how do we know that? The raya is because later on it says that when Yosef was told, it says in Pasuk Perek Mem Ches, Vayachar Dvar Me'ela, Vayomer LeYosef, Hinei Avicha Chayla. And he told Yosef, your father is sick. So it's Masha, at the beginning of the parsha, he wasn't sick. So it says he was there 17 years, he wasn't sick. So why are you telling you how long he lived now? Telling you how long he lived when he died. What's the purpose of putting it here? Furthermore, it says, Ve'yichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived be'eretz Mitzrayim, Shvayas Rishana. And it makes a hadgasha on the fact that they say, Chazal say these were the best years of his life. This is when he really lived. This was when Shvayas Rishana, that's when he lived. So what is there about these 17 years, which is the Gematria Toiv, the good years of his life, at the beginning that we said on the Seder? This week we fasted this fast of Asar B'Tevis. So what's Asar B'Tevis all about? Asar B'Tevis is when they surrounded the city of Yerushalayim and began the siege. It started then. And then Shavasa B'Tam, as they breached the walls, Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Why is the breaching of the walls so important? Why is that? I was wondering about this. Why is the breach and the fact that they breached the walls, why is that so significant in when we're talking about the story? You want to talk about it was destroyed. It's almost like saying, sometimes you have a shiva, so people talk about the whole hishtalshus, when they first got sick, and when this, they go through it. But here we're making a tinus. Why is the fact that the breaching of the walls so important for this tinus? And the surrounding of the city, and then the breaching of the walls. Why do we go, like, it's almost like excruciatingly detailed, and each time we fast another time. So why is that so important? So I'd like to suggest that what the Torah is telling us is a very important insight in how Klal Yisrael is going to survive throughout the Golus. And I think that we who live in the United States will very much relate to this. So in order to do that, I want to take us back to last week's Parsha, which I apologize we did not have a share, but now we'll be able to be looking into it a little bit. So if you take a look at page 136, and you take a look at Yosef, so what happens? So Yosef is telling his brothers, that now the brothers are now down in Mitzrayim, and they're all going to go to Paro. They're going to go now to Paro. They're going to come, and he's going to introduce his brothers to the king. And the king is obviously, you know, it's like a job interview, you know, let's see how you are, and then maybe they'll do things for you based upon how you make a good impression. So what would happen if you were coming in front of Paro? Remember, he's not the Paro yet of later on. He's not the evil Paro, even though it might have been the same person, but he was still nice to the Jews, right? He's nice to Yosef. He's excited. It says in the Pesukim, they're excited to meet the brothers of the famous Yosef. Can you imagine what his brothers look like? Everybody's all pumped, and they're all ready to meet Yosef's brothers. So you would think you want to make your best impression. So, but what happens? Something very strange happens over here. Vayomer Yosef el Echav. Yosef says to his brothers, Velbeis Aviv. Elav Agida Leparo V'Armelav Achai Ubeis Avi Asher Eretz Kanan Boilai. I'm going to let Paro know you're here. My brother's here. My father's. Ve'Anoshim Rayit Soin. And then the pasuk breaks in. If you take a look at the pasuk, very interesting. Pasuk Lamed Beis. The pasuk guy breaks in with a narrative. This is not part of Yosef's speech, but in the middle of Yosef's speech, the pasuk says, Ve'Anoshim Rayit Soin. Ki anche miktahayu. The men were rayat sign. They were shepherds because they were men of cattle. But signum bekaram bechalashalem mevi. When they brought all of their sheep and all of their cattle with them. Okay. Now we go back to Yosef's speech. We return to Yosef. V'haya ki kro lechem paro v'amr mama seichem. Paro's going to say, what do you do? V'amartem anche mikne hayu avadecha. We are people of cattle. We're people of flocks. This is all we know, right? You come in, you interview somebody with a resume, right? And they have on their resume, they did one thing. They were shepherd. That's all they did. So you say, you know, can you type? No, I can't type. Can you read and write English? No, I'm not good. What did you do your whole life? I was a shepherd. That's it. So you were a shepherd. So to come in and tell them all you ever did, you were a shepherd. All we ever did in our life, we were shepherds. We are fathers. Bavur teishu beretz Goshen, in order that you can live in the land of Goshen. Ki so avitz Mitzrayim kol rayat sain. So I want you to go and tell them you're rayat sain. Even though what's going to happen, they hate rayat sain. It's disgusting to them, right? The sheep, they worship the sheep, and you're going to tell them that's what we do. Is we're shepherds. So you're going to go and you're going to. Yosef is almost saying, go and make a bad impression. Go and tell him something. He's going to go, ugh, that's what you do? So what does it say? Vayava Yosef v'gad l'paro, and he come in, and we know what happened then. So the question, what was Yosef all about? What was Yosef telling them? And the Mefarshim explain what Yosef was saying is, we're walking into a very dangerous neighborhood right now. Not physically dangerous, but spiritually, morally dangerous. And you're going to walk into Mitzrayim, and who knows what's going to happen. There's going to be influences like you can't believe. And Paro, seeing you, is going to be very excited. And he's going to say, oh, wow, I can make you into generals. I'll make you into this. I'll make you that. Because you're, after all, Yosef's brother. He says, I managed to do it. But not everybody can manage this. And that really was the difference in Yosef and his brothers, very much so. Yosef was very much somebody who was ma'uriv with the outside. You see, he was able to go through Eishes Potiphar. He was able to become the Mashbir. He was able to become a high-level ranking official in the Egyptian government, which is like unbelievable. They didn't take Avadim, right? We spoke about that 2 weeks ago. They didn't take Avadim, and they took Yosef. So Yosef says, I managed it, but I don't wish it on anybody, and I don't think it's good for you. And I don't know if you'll manage it, just because I did. So therefore, Yosef told them, what I want you to do is I want you to say that we are Rayat Soyim, that we are people who are not people that you really want in your government. You don't want us to be people that you want us to be people who you're not going to want to be part of. It's very uncomfortable. You want to make a good impression on anybody that you meet, and here you're walking to Paro, and Yosef's telling him, make yourselves disgusting to him. It must have been very hard. But Yosef understood, having lived in Mitzrayim, that if you don't do it, you're in trouble. So I remember we once had over here, and this is many years ago, we were talking about opening a kohel in downtown Manhattan, in a base medrash we have across the street at 25 Broadway. And I remember one Rosh Hashiva told us, Manhattan's not a good place to open a kohel. The tomb of it, the surrounding area is too much. Better put your kohel in a haliger place. Put it in Williamsburg, Borough Park, Muncie, Lakewood. Plenty of places to put it. Don't put it, that's a hard place to put it. But if you do put it there, make sure that they're isolated from what's going on outside. They come in, they learn, they leave. No breaks on the streets. So he said, and in that way, that's what Yosef was saying. Yosef was telling the brothers, be very, very careful, because it's a dangerous place to be. So I think this helps us understand now the two questions we asked. We asked two questions. One question says, Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shvayas Reishonah, Vayihi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayev Shevav Shonim Rabbayim HaShonah. It says he lived 147 years. Now normally, when do you say that by everybody else, by Avram, by Yitzhak, by Sarah? When they died. Here we're telling you how long he lived. He's still going to live for the rest of the Parsha. He's still going on. He wasn't even sick at the time. So he said, number one, why would it say that? Number two is Asar V'Tavis, it memorializes the surrounding of the walls. And Shvastri V'Tamos tells us when the walls were breached. Why is that so important? Why do we go and fast on that? Fast when the base was destroyed, you're going to fast. But to fast on all these other things, I think the answer is yes. In the base of Migdash, there was a very interesting, mysterious little wall called the Soreg.
What?
The Soreg.
Soreg.
Soreg. Samet, Vav, Reish, Gimel. And it was a little wooden fence, a few feet high. You could look right over it, a couple amas high. And it separated out in the base of Migdash. It was around the perimeter of the base of Migdash. What did this wall represent? It represented that that's where the Yidden could go past there. If you wanted to go past it and you weren't a Yid, you got to go be Megayer. You know, first you got to go be Megayer, then you go in. But right now, somebody's not a Yid, can't stay out. The Yavonim were so insulted by this that they made, for Hanukkah, that's how the Hanukkah, one of the Hanukkah stories that we know about, they made 13 breaches in the wall. Why 13? Dominion Echad. Because they were saying, we don't believe there should be any difference between a Yid and a non-Yid. We should all be the same. Of course, we should all be the same at the lowest level. That's where they wanted it to be. Not, they didn't say we want to be the same at the highest level. If you want to be the same at the highest level, you become a Yid. No problem. Nobody's saying no. Come on in. Join. What?
They didn't say it's a fast on Yom Kippur.
Right, exactly. They said they wanted everybody to be, because they probably felt guilty. Every person, every anti-Semit, is because he feels guilty. He feels guilty. Why am I not being a tzaddik like those people? Why am I here in this world and doing what I'm doing? What?
Hitler said the Jews are the conscience of the world.
Of the world, right. He was, unfortunately, in a very bizarre way, he was the biggest chassid of how great the Yidden are. So I think, in looking at that, the purpose of the wall was twofold. The purpose of Sairig was to keep the non-Yidden out, but it was also to keep the Yidden in. There's another purpose. I don't think they talk about that so much. But that the Yidden should know you're within the Kedusha. Know that when you go outside that Soreg, you've just gone to a little bit less Kedusha. And when you go outside of Yerushalayim, you've really gone outside of Kedusha. In fact, you even feel it today. If you're ever by the Kaisel, and you feel this elevation, you feel this ruch, you feel a certain spirituality by the Kaisel, when you walk out, it like dissipates. Right, by the time you get into the taxi or the bus, you walk through those gates over there, it's starting to fade. So I think that the purpose of Asar B'Tavis and Shavasar B'Tamas is to say, you know what, breaching of surrounding the city, that's the beginning of the end of our being able to be an umma of ourself, to being able to be together and not be influenced. They're already starting to throw in. Right now they're throwing in missiles. Tomorrow they're going to be throwing in pamphlets. The next day they'll be throwing in other things. The same thing, breaching of the walls. It also was another madrega. It was another step of our inability to maintain ourselves in Ummah Yisraelis. And as long as we don't have that, so then we're in trouble. So I was thinking, and that's why we make such a big deal over the breaching of the walls, the surrounding of the city, which just seems to be peripheral. That was a pun. So if you know, it's not. But here it is. So therefore, I think that might be. So that's the pshat by why Asar B'Tavis is so important to us, because not just a matter of them not coming, them keeping them out, those influences, but keeping ourselves in where we need to be. So I think when Yaakov Avinu went into Mitzrayim, he went into a very, very difficult world. And this was not for Yaakov. Remember, Yosef already, remember, let's talk about the immigrant experience. So Yosef was 17, right? So he was younger, he was able to adapt, he could handle both, he could live in the world of Kedusha, he was able to. Yaakov was already a Zaken Muflig, he was 130 years old. He's coming in. How do you not have the influences? You don't have the tools. You grew up in such kedusha. It's like you take a white wall and you throw some black ink on it. The white wall gets schmutzig a lot faster than a beige wall is going to get, or a dark wall. That's why people paint, they don't paint, except in Israel, they don't paint straight white, because it gets schmutzig very easily. So Yaakov was living there. How do you live in a place of tuma? The answer is Sok Chazal, is to remember that there's another world that's a world of Kedusha. You can live in this world of Tuma if you know there's another world of Kedusha. It says, that's why it says in Chazal that a person's Yetzer is coming upon him, so there's a number of steps along the way, Kriya Shema and so on, but ultimately it says remember Yom HaMisa. And everyone says, Yom HaMisa, it's like so depressing. The answer is no. There's a future world of beauty, the future world of greatness. So I think that the answer is by Yechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. Why was Yaakov able to live Eretz Mitzrayim Shvasrei Shana? Because his Kruvi Yimei Yisrael Lomos. Because he was near the end, and he already realized there's no purpose in getting involved in the Tumah of Mitzrayim. It doesn't make sense, even from a plain the calculus doesn't make sense, because I know I'm going to be into a different world. So maybe that's why already tells us that his Yechi Yaakov was because he was coming to the end, and therefore he was able to handle whatever tuma there was in Mitzrayim. So that's just a machshav that I had, to share with you. So let's go on. So I saw in the Sefer Masakor that he says a very nice prat. He brings a pshat from the Mari Asad, and we ask like this. We know that there's the famous Vayikru Yisrael, May Yisrael Lamus. Yisrael goes, he's coming close to die. Vayikru Menol Yosef. If I find favor, Simna Yorcha Tachas Yerechi Vasisi Madi Chesed Emes, I'll not take Rebbe Mitzrayim. So, what was the purpose of Simna Yorcha Tachas Yerechi? So we know that's a shvua, because it's a shvua. That's the same way Avraham Avinu famously gave that shvua to Eliezer when he made him swear. So also Pashut Pshat, he made him swear. So he wants to say a different pshat to understand this, which is very, very geshmak. And it has a very, very funny story. I was telling Mr. Shulman before that the people are looking at me strangely on the street because I started laughing out loud when I thought of this story. It's such a cute story. But he explains like this. Yaakov really was telling Yosef something special. He says, what's the word Yerech mean? Yerech is the thigh, and the kafa Yerech is the socket of the thigh. And Chazal tell us when the spoon. So when Yaakov was fighting with the Sarshal Esav, so he touched the Kaf HaYerech. So Rashi tells us, what does the Kaf HaYerech mean? Yerech means Torah, and the Kaf HaYerech is the Tomchen Doraisa, the people support Torah. Torah supporters. So he touched them not just in the Emes Yaakov, Yaakov is Torah, but he touched them not only in his Torah, but in the people support Torah. Because Torah by itself, Imein Kamachein Torah. So that's pshat in Yerech. Yerech is representative of Torah. And Emes is representative of Torah. What's Yad? What is a Yad? What's a hand? So the Pasuk tells us, Ki Paseh Tiftach Es Yadecha. You should open your hand. Right? That's what they say. You Paseh Tiftach. When you open your hand, right? You can give money. If your hand is tight fisted, you can't give money. Pasov tiftach is yadecha. Open up your hand. So yad represents chesed, represents tzedakah, represents giving. So let's hold on. I'll tell a story, which is a very interesting story. So what happened was, in the old Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, so they didn't have enough money. That's, they didn't have billion-dollar industries yet. And most of the money came from outside of Eretz Yisrael. The people used to give. They felt it was, even when I was a kid, we used to collect money for Pilim and so on in the schools, and Chedef Atzmai, because it was a big schuz. We're living in Chutz Loretz, and really we should be living in Eretz Yisrael. So we're sort of, at least, doing a little bit of tshuva. We try and collect tzedakah. We give tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael. So we have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So they got money at that tekuf. They got money from the joint. Gimel, Yud, Vav, Yud, Nun, Tes. The joint used to give money. And they made a party. They made a party for the joint. They made a big Hakarasa type celebration. So Reb Ezra Atiyah was one of the great Roshim's, great Mekubalim. So he had the banquet, so he got up to speak, and his job was to get up and give a nice speech thanking them. So he gets up, and he starts his, good speaker starts, and then he stops. And then he starts again. And then he stops. A third time. And then he bursts out into tears. He starts crying hysterically. And he sits down. So Rabbi Tannenbaum, he says, from the Yid, and there maybe from the joint, I'm not sure, it doesn't say. Oh, Masker the Vadi Yeshivs, I'm sorry, he was the Masker the Vadi Yeshivs of Tannenbaum. So it's very interesting, because Rabbi Tannenbaum was the head of Chinuch Atzmai. Yeah. I wonder, maybe it's the son of, okay, whatever it is. So, yeah, right, so maybe that's it, Chashav Yid. So he says, so he goes over to him, and he says, forgive me, but like, what was that all about? What happened? You got up, you managed to speak, choked up three times, you started crying. So he tells him, he says, I was thinking, I got up to speak, and I said, oh, Mashiach is not here. And the tsar was so great, I started to cry. I couldn't take it. So he says, what do you mean? We were sitting for like 45 minutes through the other speeches. You didn't start crying about Mashiach's not here, right? I mean, I spoke to you like the last 3 weeks. You didn't get all of a sudden. Now you get up to speak, and all of a sudden you think Mashiach's not here. So what's going on? So this is what he tells him. Gvaldik. He says, in the time of Mashiach, we're going to have a dinner. The joint is going to make a dinner to thank us that they were able to give money to Torah. The thing is that they had the schutz to give money to Torah because they're going to know the truth. And I started to cry, Nebuchadnezzar, Mashiach's not here, and we have to thank them? They should be thanking us. Because who's the real one giving the tzedakah? The one who's learning Torah is giving the schutz to the one who gives him tzedakah. He should be thankful he's giving us money. The joint should be making this. It says, Mashiach HaYibah, Lo Anatla Yaisa Mesiba L'Chvayt Rashi Irgun HaJoint. We wouldn't be doing it. Adrav Irgun HaJoint Tal Yairev L'Chvayt Deinu Mesiba. Don't make it for us. She's Skamna L'Kach Nem Esakesef. Lach Zokas Torah. Aval Ata, now she Mashiach HaDayin L'Ba, Anatla El Shetzrichan Larach L'Chvayt Mesiba. Now Nebuch, we have to go and we have to thank them. If we had our head on straight, we would know that it goes the other way. That's what he said. So he says like this, Yaakov sat and made a cheshbon, and he said, I spent my whole life to learn Torah. I'm an ish. Yaakov, and Tita Nemes Yaakov, he mamish spent his life learning Torah. Each time, Yashav HaHolim. He says, but maybe I didn't do enough tzedakah. Maybe I didn't do enough chesed. How do I know if I did enough? And he thought about it, and he says, yeah, but I have a son who's the greatest Baal Chesed, the greatest Baal Tzedakah in the world, Huam Mashbir. He's supporting the whole country. That's the Tzedakah I have. On the other hand, Yais is so busy with all that, he probably doesn't have enough time to learn as much Torah as he should be learning. See, he says, I want to make a deal with Yosef. I'm going to make a deal, the two of us are going to get together. Simna Yadcha Takas Yeregi. Take your Yad, which is the Yad which represents Tzedakah, put it by my Yerech, which represents Torah. And Vasisi Madin, together we will make Chesed v'Emes. Chesed of Tzedakah and Emes of Torah. So that's what he said. We have a partnership. Our partnership is that together we can create greatness Even though I might not have as much tzedakah as I should, and you might not have as much Torah, but together we have it all. He says, and that's what Yaakov Avinu was telling him. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful machshav. That's what he was letting him know. Together we can do it. That's a pshat, beautiful pshat. Then he says another pshat. And let's go on. I'd like to go on to another pasuk, and then we're going to go to the entire story of Ephraim Menashe. I want to share with you a question I had for many, many decades, which Baruch Hashem, my son, in the Zeva Sefer, in the Rav Moshe, he answers the question. But let's learn a couple of psukim. If you turn to Peret Memches, Pasuk Chaf. Memches, Pasuk Chaf. Next page, page 142. So we know that Yosef gets together with, brings the children, and there's a little bit of a blip in the beginning that he doesn't want to give them the bracha, because he says, Mi'ela, who are these people? And at the beginning he doesn't want to give them, then eventually he does give them the bracha, because and we'll explain what happened over there. So it says that what happened, so he says to him, Pasukov, Vayivarchem Vayoy Mahu Lemor, Vilcha Yivarch Yisrael Lemor. This is how the Jewish people should give a bracha. Yisim Chelechim Ephraim Uchem Menashe. That Hashem should make you like Ephraim Menashe, but Yosef is Ephraim, which name Menashe. He puts Ephraim, who's Torah, in front of Menashe, who's Chesed, like we said before. We said that Yosef and Yaakov made the deal with Yosef. I'm Torah, so Yadcha, your Yad, which is Tzedakah, should be Takas Yerechi, which is Torah. And together we'll have Chesed Vemes, we'll have Chesed and Torah, we'll have it all. So the same thing, Ephraim and Menashe together had that Mida of Torah and Chesed. Ephraim was the one who learned with the Zayda, and Menashe helped his father, Baruch Hashem, he helped his father to run the kingdom. So they had the two together. So the Shaila is, the question, he asked a very good question. So what did Yaakov say? Give a bracha and say, you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. When Yaakov gave the bracha, when he said it, what did he say? Ephraim Menashe, Keruvin v'Shimon Yuli. Ephraim and Menashe, be like Reuven and Shimon. They're Shvatim. I make them two Shvatim. They are two tribes, just like Reuven and Shimon. So when I want to give the bracha, who should I give the bracha? The primary or the secondary? Should I give the bracha Yisim Chalikim, Reuven and Shimon? Why do I say Yisim Chalikim, Ephraim and Menashe? Ephraim and Menashe, I like Reuven and Shimon. So let me give the bracha like Reuven and Shimon. So why am I giving the bracha Ephraim and Menashe? This is the kasha that he asks. And he brings a wonderful teretz. He brings a wonderful from Reuven Carlenstein. He brings a beautiful teretz. He says like this, we know there's a thing called Yiridas Adiris. We know that every generation is less than the generation before. And where do we see this? Where is the place where we see this, interestingly enough? We see is that it says that Ein Karin La'avas El Shleisha, Vein Karin Limos El Arba. There are only three avas. Why do we call the Shvatim? Why aren't they avas? We all come from the Shvatim, right? So why don't we call them avas also? So one pshat is we don't know which Sheva we come from. Okay. We all know we come from Yaakov, Baruch Hashem, somehow, but we don't know which Sheva we come from. So Ein Karin La'avas El Shleisha, Vein Karin Limos El Arba. But another pshat is Yirida Sadiris. Because the Shvatim were not on the same level as the Avos and the Imos. They weren't on the same level. They were great tzaddikim. They're obviously great people, but a little bit less. He says, "We'll bring you Ryan." He says, "Why aren't there six Imos? What do we have to build in Zilpah?" And the answer is, they weren't on the same level as Rachel and Leah. So therefore, Rachel and Leah were on that level called Imos, which is obviously a phenomenally high level to be up there to be called Avos. There have been a lot of Jews in the world since then. I don't know how many millions, but a lot, right? Maybe a billion, collectively throughout history. What?
Over all the generations.
All the generations, maybe a billion, I don't know. But it's a lot of Jews. But there's only three that are of us, and only four, because there's Yerida Sadiris. And only those people...
Are they considered the Imos? Arba Imos?
Yeah, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah.
Oh,
why not
right.
Why not build Zilpah?
Right,
oh, you're
right,
thinking
right.
That?
Thinking this
yeah,
word,
no, why
right,
not build
right, right.
Because build Zilpah, it says weren't on the same level.
Okay.
So he says, however, that is true. That is, there's two people that there was no Yerida Sadiris. You know who those two people were? Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim Menashe, Keruven and Shimon. Ephraim Menashe did not go through the Yeridas Adairos that the others fought, that everybody else went through. They were considered to be on the same level as their father, as their uncles, right? So he says, therefore, we give a bracha to our children, and we say the same way Ephraim Menashe did not go through Yeridas Adairos, did not go to the next generation, so too you should be from the previous generation also. You should also be zaycha not to have Yeridas Adairos happen to you. You should go up. It's interesting, he brings a story from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish said that somebody once, that Chazon Ish once sent him, but Dor Shalom ain't kfar zakenim. In our generation, there are no more zakenim. There are no more people of that level of elders. So somebody said, aye, but we see that there are. So he said, the Chazon Ish, that's because they're from the previous generation. In other words, this is true. Say that there are certain people considered from the previous generation. Certain, because the Grah, it was said, Reb Chaim Volozhin said on the Grah, he's like a Rishon. There were certain people got to that level that they're considered from the, you know, Frazata, they call Frazata Shiyid, somebody from like a previous generation. So they, what?
Frazata
Shiyid. Yeah, so I said it right. So therefore, that's what he says. So therefore, we give a bracha to our children. Shimon, you should be Ephraim Menashe, Keruven to Shimon Yuli. You should come up. You should be like, yeah, you should be like from the previous generations. Okay, so I'd like to share with you now two things that I saw in my Zayda Sefer, and one of them is going to answer a question I've had for many, many, I don't know, forever. I can't remember right now. So we said, when he said, HaMalach HaGayel Osi, right? He said, Mikol Ra Yivarech Hasnar Mikor Behem Shmi V'Shem Avosai Avram V'Yitzchak V'Yidgal Leroy B'Kerav Baretz. It says, you should do it, and should my name bless them in my name and the name of my fathers. Now, normally, you say, what kind of pshat is that? You put your own name before your father? That's not the Yiddish Avei. We told a story once here that there was a younger man went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he was telling him about a certain organization he's part of, and he was boasting to him, oh, in our organization, you know, we have the younger light are so active, they take a role and they make all the decisions, they do everything. So Reb Chaim cut him off, and he says, what are you talking about? That's not Yiddish. In Yiddish, the Zakenim decide what to do. Then the arm's job is to do it. But the Zakenim decide. You shouldn't have the young guys deciding. So he came back, he was a little deflated after that. But what's pshat in Yisrael? How is his name? So one pshat is that the Arizal says that the word Yisrael is Rosh Tevis of all the Avos and Imahos. Yisrael is Rosh Tevis. Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Avram, and Leah. That's Yisrael. So what?
No.
Yeah, includes everybody. So therefore, ki hu ikra l'kulam, and therefore when he said shmi, he didn't mean me, he meant my name. He didn't say shmi v'shem avosai. He didn't say ani v'avosai. He said shmi, my name, because my name includes all of the avos. And that's what he meant. That's one pshat. Chay nikra Yisrael, that's where you call Beis Yisrael. V'lo Beis Avram or Yitzhak. V'shem v'shem zeh, v'yuchat klum kol avos v'imos, because everybody's included. Second pshat, he says, is that it says in the Zayar, HaTayra Da Yaakov, that it says Tayra, it says Tayra, the world's on Tayra, HaVayda Gemil Chassarim, HaTayra Da Yaakov, HaVayda Da Yitzchak, Gemil Chassarim Da Avram, each one has their own, and Tayra is the most kosher, and therefore Yaakov goes first. But then he says another amazing thing. If you take a look in Pasuk Chaf, this will end. In Pasuk Chaf, it says, Vayivarchim Bayom HaHuleymar, Becha Yivarch Yisrael Lamer, Yisim Kolikim Kefraim Chanasha. And he blessed them by Yom HaHu Lamer on that day, saying, what is it? So ask the Ber Moshe, what does it mean by Yom HaHu? What do you mean on that day? Of course it was on that day, right? It's like I'm saying Shir today. You know it's today. So if I say, we're saying Shir now, today, it's extra. Vayivarchim by Yom HaHu Lamer, and also what's this Lamer? Lamer always means azay tzuzog, to tell others, right? So who else is he telling? B'chol yivarach Yisrael. So what is pshat over here? So here's the kasha I've always never understood, and Mamsh gives a beautiful answer. Wow. So he says like this, and we've asked this question, we've asked him this year. We know that he said, why did he say me Eilim, when originally Yaakov resisted giving the bracha to Ephraim and Menashe? What was the reason he resisted? So it says, because he knew, says Rashi, that someday Rishayim are going to come out of them. Who's going to come out of them? Yerov ben Nevat, and Menashe is going to come out of them, and these Rishayim, therefore you didn't want to give them a bracha. So we asked the Kasha, first of all, it's 800 years later. It's hundreds of years later. Because how many dairies it is to punish them, because all these dairies later? And we said, it's not fair. How do we understand? So we gave the princess and the pea teretz. That was our teretz at that time. That it's very sensitive, and that means within there was a little kernel of it that's going to flower. It's like a virus. You know, everyone's talking about the measles and these things. So you have a virus in you, it can come out many, many years later. But the other kash is, what happened with the kash from Yishmael? What happened? Why did Hashem not punish Yishmael? It says, Basher Usham. Hashem does it according to where they are now. So right now, Ephraim and Asher are perfectly good tzaddikim. So because they're going to have dairus 800 years later, you shouldn't give them bracha now? What's the pshat? So listen to what he says. And this, I've always had this kasha, and here's the answer. Bram, kivja bracha hayat soif kalat dairus. This wasn't a bracha just for these two people sitting in front of him. This bracha was all the dairus that are going to come from them. When a Yaakov gives a bracha, when a Yitzchak gives a bracha, he's not just giving to the two people, he's giving for dairus this bracha, because it's going to affect everything forever. Lefigla ratzi Yaakov levarchem, ki birchas yis bracha gam yirav v'acha, because with the bracha, he not that someday they're going to have them, but he's actually giving a Yerav Menachem a bracha, and he wanted to do that. Amnon, kishabikish yaisa brachman, and yaisa said, please, right now they're okay. So he changed the bracha, and he gave him a bracha for now. And he didn't make the bracha for the dairus. In other words, the anaf, you have a tree, the trunk is good, you have a few farfalot, the leaves. Okay, but at least give the tree, the trunk, a bracha. So therefore, that's why it says about Ivorchem b'yoyim ahu. On that day he gave him a bracha, because the bracha was for that day. He didn't change. He changed it instead of being for all the dairus. He made it by Yom Ahu, and he said that they lamor, saying that everybody should know that we're giving this bracha because it'll continue, but it won't include those two people because I don't want to include them. But I'm going to do it by Yom Ahu the way they are today, and that's how he was able to give them the bracha. They never be Yom Ahu. Should be Yom Ahu. How you tovim? Al Achra. See them. That says I think of Vayezara. Okay, lamer ledairus shabracha hayisa ad kaladairus limrus akal. So Yaakov, when he gives a bracha, he gives it for everything, all the dairus. But he wanted to exclude these two rishayim, and therefore he said, "Bayomahu, the way they are today." Davis the Halfen, we should all take. We should finish. We're finishing Parshas Vayechi, sadly, but excitedly we move on to Shmais, which is also going to be great. And we should learn that the brachas that we give our children, the brachas that we give other people, we should have in mind not just them. The person saying, but know that person, Yitzchak, is going to be dairus. So we have in the Holocaust, Nebuch, used to have people that they say, my child always stay religious, always stay from. And you hear stories like this over and over, that that's how they stay from, because the parent told them to. The parent wasn't just telling you, but I want all my dairus to come out that way. And you have now a Holocaust survivor, who's one person comes out, now can I know her? They have 50, 100, 100, 100 people coming from them. So all of them should all be Baracha, so we shall be Zeicha to the Birchus Yaakov, because he had us in mind, and Mircham, the Barachas that we give should also be for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.